ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
Clearly, with the news of the passing of Pope Francis, of course, there is a lot of attention worldwide on the significance of the papacy of Pope Francis and his contribution. Joining us is Geraldine Doogue, radio national host, a former host of Compass, has also produced a documentary about Pope Francis as well. Geraldine, good evening to you. Welcome to
Night Live. Good evening, Philip.
Terrific.
Very nice to be here with you.
Well, it's great to have you with us as well.
Not a happy occasion, but very nice to be with you.
Well, no, in a way, I suppose, and not unexpected. And, gee, you have to admire the theatricality of his departure, in a sense, don't you? Because to have presided over the very sacred period of Easter and Easter Sunday, as Catholics celebrate the risen Christ, and Easter Monday he leaves to join them.
Extraordinary. Yes, the symbolism is really quite remarkable. I mean, I did say to people, look, I think he will do everything to stay around until Easter, but I certainly didn't expect it to be quite so profound as that it was off in Easter Monday. But look, I just think, you know, I looked at him being told that he had to rest for 2 months, and I did think, I wonder if that man will be able to do that. Well, of course, we now see he couldn't or didn't, you know, receiving the King and Queen, receiving J.D. Vance, coming out on that balcony. I mean, that's all really is taking an enormous amount of energy for a man who twice came just so close to death that his doctors nearly gave up.
Mm. Yes, exactly. J.D. Vance, I think the Vice President of the United States, was one of the last to see
him. He was.
Commented that he wasn't well. But there's news footage of him, he's sitting up and receiving J.D. Vance, so he's, he wasn't bedridden at that point. But look, it wasn't unexpected. He'd been suffering from these breathing issues for pneumonia for quite a while. He was a reformer, wasn't he? Not the great reformer that Pope John the 23rd was, of course, in the Second Vatican Council, but perhaps no one will ever achieve that again. I don't know. But how do you put him in the pantheon of Catholic reformers?
I certainly put him, I think he was a cautious reformer. I think he very much had an instinct, a complete commitment to following through on the last great reform, which is the Vatican II, which was 1962-65, which was Pope John's move to really bring the church, you know, post-war into the full 20th century. And now his job is to sort of take it into the 21st. And I think that really Francis was a man who was determined that the clerical church that he'd grown up in wasn't going to be the way of the future. I mean, that he fundamentally wanted to open it more, open it up more, recognise the fact that it was changing and becoming, frankly, shrinking in its heartland, growing in the peripheries, you know, the Africa's China and parts of Asia growing. And he just thought that he had to give that a dignity. And I think he fundamentally believed it. He came from the South, you know, South America, and he just wasn't a man of old Europe, even though he worked, I think he worked in Rome, you know, he worked. He was quite a strategic man, you know, I think he was quite a political, he was quite shrewd. I think he was bold. I think he obviously had a great personal style about him. Did you ever see that film Two Popes?
Yes, I did.
It was a very well done film, actually. And whoever wrote that script, you know, if you remember the portrayal of Benedict and Bergoglio, you know, Pope Francis, was very interesting. And I think Francis was fundamentally a pastor, an Italian man, relocated to South America, and that's what he stayed.
Mm. He never made really substantial progress on perhaps the great social justice issue of the Catholic Church, and that's the emancipation of women in the church, did he? He kind of talked about it a bit, but there was never really any meaningful reform in receiving women into the ministry, was there?
No. What he would say was that he appointed women, and he has done, to positions of considerable authority in the Vatican. I think there are two dicasteries, which are the names of the sort of big departments now run by women. But in when he had a sort of obvious choice to ordain women as permanent deacons, yes. He didn't want a bar of it. And he did get quite a shock when they had the Amazon Synod, the big synod of the Amazon, where I think he really wanted to open it up to married priests and to women. And basically he got pushback from other various parts of the church. And I noticed he went cool. He was not interested in threatening a schism in any shape or form, dividing the church. You know, that was not going to happen on his watch. So he sort of stretched the Vatican civil service, the courier, very powerful, and, you know, they do all sorts of chicanery and manipulation, to be candid, and very good works. And he got in there, but really he didn't choose to do as much as he could have, I regret to say.
And on the other great crisis of his papacy, which was the sexual abuse scandals of the church, particularly in the West, in America and in particular, some, you know, most egregious examples of pedophiles in the church.
And here
in Australia, of course, as well as we know well. I mean, he toiled mightily to rid the church of this. How would you rate his effort?
Look, to be candid, I'd give him about 6.5 out of 10 for that. He was, I mean, actually, I think Pope Benedict, who's a much more intellectual man than Francis, but nothing like as pastoral, he actually did really grasp the nettle in a whole, you know, and I think it actually drove him out of the church. I think he just sort of was so horrified and scandalised by what he couldn't fix completely, or the fact that it kept coming. And Francis went in there with his eyes open, but in some ways, like with the bishops of Chile, he just didn't see what was there until it was absolutely sort of semi-rammed down his throat, if you know what I mean, and then he got it. And then he was quite a stubborn person, and that can be a virtue, as you know, like he wasn't a will-o'-the-wisp, he just floated around, not at all. But he needed evidence, and I think he just found, like a lot of people have, he just found it almost impossible to believe that there was some of shocking decline in attitudes, perfidy that he found. But he didn't let it destroy him the way I think it did Benedict, actually. He felt that he could achieve other things and sallied forth. And in fact, I think he was trying to stay alive was to sort of really bring back a certain sort of confident hope and trust in the church. I think that was his big dream, actually.
I'm speaking with Geraldine Doogue. Just before you go, Geraldine, the conclave's in 2 weeks. As we know from the film, anything can happen from here.
It certainly can. It's easier to pick the Melbourne Cup, as I say, than the next.
I think you had a reasonable guess at Bergoglio last time. Did you chance your arm this time?
No, I didn't. I'd love to agree with you, but no, I did not. A Jesuit, a very good father, Richard Leonard, said he told me about Bergoglio, and I thought, no, South American, no. Look, I think it'll be an Italian, strangely enough. I think it'll be, I think that for all the talk of the peripheries, going to the peripheries and all these unusual cardinals, excuse my language, people whom we're not expecting, I think they might choose to go back to the old centre and settle the place down, especially with the world being as tumultuous as it is at the moment.
All right, Geraldine, it's been terrific to have your time. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Lovely, Philip. Bye-bye.
Geraldine Doogue joining us there. Geraldine, of course, a well-known broadcaster and Australia Radio National host and former host of Compass too, who has produced a documentary about Pope Francis. As we remember Pope Francis, He's dead at 88, a great leader of the church.
Nightlife with Philip Clark
on ABC Radio.